College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
The Kings of the Ring all come together and do the wild thing. Lex Luger, the Stylish, Nature Boy Sting. Yeah, they all be doing that thing. Yeah, they all be there with something to prove. Brimming with intentions to bust the move. It's pay-per-view excitement for THE. For more information, call your cable company.
Hello and welcome. I am your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, is the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, JP. I'm doing fine. How have you been, my friend?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Keeping busy, for sure. Now, I don't know if you've kept up with some of what's going on just as far as some current wrestling. Have you been catching these Rock promos every week that he seems to be laying out there? Long, but awesome.
That's why he's the Rock. All these people that are going to these training schools, training centers, and they're needed, you know what I mean? I was just, I'm down here in Florida. I just was over CCW's training school with the great Gangrel as the head trainer. And boy, it's really, really great facility. But The Rock mesmerizes us with his presence in his interview because he understands how to get a promo over. It's amazing to me. I've said it to you before, JP. This is by far and away the greatest angle I've ever seen in my lifetime in wrestling and watching wrestling as a kid.
And you throw The Rock in the mix, too, with the bloodline, right? And enhances it because one of the best guys ever, arguably the greatest talker ever, cutting these promos every week, even going online on his Instagram and his X account, everything else, and cutting 20-minute promos. So definitely heightens it.
Yeah, let me ask you something. Do you think that this was a work with Cody and The Rock when Cody stepped aside?
I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out too, because it seems like they might have been backtracking a bit and going to Cody because of the backlash of the negative posts or whatever online about The Rock.
This is just my observation. I looked at those signs, right? We want Cody.
Yep.
They're all the same. They were passing those out.
Possibly.
Well, they were, because they were the exact same signs.
Yeah.
You know, so if it was, whoever came up with it was a genius. And if it wasn't, whoever decided to switch it and put their ego aside was a genius. This, I mean, and then when the Roman grabbed The Rock's hand and said, "Acknowledge me," I don't think a lot of people understood how important that's going to be in the angle.
Right, and he did acknowledge him, right? So what do you think about that?
Well, it was like he was anointing him, right? But it also, I think, is a tip-off, and I maybe they've been doing it so well, they got us all second-guessing ourselves. It may be a tip-off of The Rock going to turn on Roman, you know what I mean? So
it feels like they can go two different directions, Rock versus Roman, which everybody wants, I think, to see, even though they thought the fans didn't want to see it. But also Rock versus Cody as well could be a big one.
Yeah, and that's a great problem to have when you have three guys that you can have angles with, right? I mean, it can be Roman and Cody, Rock and Cody, Rock and Roman. It can be... you can step one of the Usos up with Rock against Cody and Roman. There's so many good shit they can do. It's never ending now. And I think I got to give Hunter. This, to me, makes Hunter probably the smartest guy I ever saw in the wrestling business.
Really? That's some high praise there for Triple H.
Yeah. I mean, nobody, you know, I've said this before. I had my hand in the NWO. They were fabulous. Until the bloodline, they were the hottest thing I ever saw. But we destroyed baby faces on the way for them to get their heat. The bloodline got the heat, kept the heat, and made baby faces. So, I'm really looking forward to the turn of events that will come out of WrestleMania, because I think, because of this WrestleMania, SummerSlam will be the biggest.
And it's like biggest SummerSlam ever.
Yeah.
It's actually Lynn Brown Stadium.
Yeah, they get so many things coming out of this. Now, Gunther, right?
Yep.
I mean, if SummerSlam, if they move from the Bloodline and Cody to Cody and Gunther. That would be a hell of a match. I mean, totally they got so many things coming out of their stuff that I just amazes me how they've. That's what amazed me. How long they've, how they brought this back. Oh, shit.
And when you look at it too, Punk is still sitting out there. He just cut that promo saying you can't go to Philadelphia without Phil, which is obviously Phil Brooks. Right. It's his real name. And you got Punk too, who just said that about Philadelphia. You can't spell Philadelphia without Phil. Right. So it looks like he's either wrestling or referee, or he's doing something because he's in the gym. He's already working out. So he's even coming back sooner than we thought.
Yeah, and then you're going to have Steiner's kid ready for the big time. Chad Gable, you're going to have a lot of influx of young talent who haven't really been exposed, but have been built very well. You got Gunther, no matter what he does, he's going to be hot coming off of WrestleMania. Sammy, I look for Sammy to win that. You know, he'll be elevated. They just got so much good stuff going on. It's amazing. And we mentioned this before. I mean, they lost Punk, who would have fit in perfectly in this one, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? And I just read that The Rock actually has appeared on more shows in 2024 than Roman. Did you make anything of it? Does that bother you at all or no?
No. I mean, they. When did he start appearing? When he became on the board, right?
Yes.
So he's a company man. They paid him $30 million to put his ass in a seat on the board. They expected, and they gave him all his licensing. They expect him to perform and help the company. And, man, they all have helped the company get by this faux pas of Vince McMahon thing. I mean, I don't hear anybody talking about it anymore, do you?
No, not really. Kind of went quiet, which is kind of surprising given all the accusations.
Yeah, but I think it's because they're stopped talking about them. The news stopped handling it as much as it was. But the television program has been so good, and they got everybody focused on WrestleMania. So yep. You got to give Rock a credit. Why did you think The Rock was overshadowed
on
Roman?
At first, I kind of got the feeling, but then when Roman did the acknowledge me part, I was like, okay, Rock really is smart enough to realize, like, I got to get Roman over big time here. And you could tell Roman's face, even in the press conference, you could tell he was, like, disturbed by The Rock stepping in. So I was wondering if that was a part of the storyline, and thank God it is a part of the storyline. He was pissed at him.
Right. And I also think Roman has fought leukemia twice, correct?
Yes.
I really went back and watched some of his matches. He's a hard-working guy. Hard, solid, takes a lot of bumps, goes to the floor a lot. Whether he's giving it or taking it, he's going through the announcer's booth. I think they'll run this all the way till after SummerSlam. He may appear at a Saudi Arabia event or an event in Germany or where they go, in Paris too, right?
Yep.
May appear there, but he's going to get some rest and well-deserved. I think The Rock will slip in there and make the big events he has to, And Rock, for a while, was getting a little backlash, as you do when you're successful. Have you noticed everything has been completely positive on social media? Like when he picked up Drew Barrymore, all the woke crowd said how he... Did you see what he did?
Yep. Yep.
Can I pick you up this way? Can I do... All the woke crowd fell in love with him. Jimmy Kimmel, he comes across, you know, he's The Rock. He comes across incredible.
That's the thing, too. The people were wanting to, like, to boo him and do, you know, him doing the heel stuff, but now they love him again.
Yeah, and then when he did the Oscars, it showed how important he was, and that was a cool thing for Cena. You know, it's just... I think coming out of this, you know, people always say, well, it's going to drop. They could run this another 2 years. They could set what this WrestleMania could go into SummerSlam right into WrestleMania. They've got something going very, very, very well. And Cody has really laid the foundation, I believe, where if somehow it drops off from him being a babyface, he could switch heel easily.
That's what a lot of people are saying. He could be a heel. So just the way he dresses, carries, so the way he talks, he could be a heel.
Yeah, the flamboyant outfit to the ring. The thing the other night with the little kid with the same outfit, don't tell me that wasn't a plant.
Right.
He didn't have the exact same outfit. That probably cost him $2,000 to make. No parent's going to buy an outfit like that so he can be picked up by Cody. They have protected themselves on every side. Roman now is getting cheered, right? And booed. The Rock. They started to boo the shit out of The Rock. Now they're cheering him. They're popping on him, knocking the town they live in. They've done an incredible job. Again, I'm just repeating myself, but they have taken the spotlight completely away from AEW. Do you feel that?
Yeah. I mean, they had Mercedes Moné debut, and the ratings did not go up at all. They were pretty bad.
Yeah. And that's not knocking her. It was like they are on such a roll, WWE. It's like when the NWO was on such a roll in WCW with Goldberg and NWO with Rey Mysterio, Conan. I mean, I could go down the line. It sucked the life out of WWF at the time, right? Until Austin broke through in the thing with Tyson. They need... And I'm rooting for AEW also. You know what I mean? It's good for the business. It's good for the fans. I'm rooting for them, but they need to get some storylines down.
Totally agree.
Were you the one that said to me and that you believe that Tony was a tape trader and back in the day you only saw great matches? You didn't see a whole show. You just saw great matches.
Right. The compilations were basically matches. Yeah.
So he expects people to know who Okada is, right?
Yes. That he thinks they should. Yeah.
Well, do you think the average wrestling fan knows who he is?
Unfortunately, no. Not the average fan. No, not the casual fan. Definitely not.
Right. That's where I'm at. you know, I'm a firm believer in going back to, if you really want to get a guy over, the vignettes.
Yes.
You know, they got a lot of creative people down there at AEW. Danielson, you could turn him loose, or whoever else has a brain down there. Malenko is a very smart guy. They could have vignettes to get people over. Do you know what I mean?
1,000%. Yeah, they should.
Yeah, and tell a story. And I would hope they would. I don't want them to get too far behind. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because also, when you get too far behind, it's like what I said to you long ago. You can make a mistake and it turns out to be good, like The Rock, right? You there?
Yep. Okay.
Like yep. The Rock in Cody. It turned out to, the mistake turned out to be magnificent. But when you're on the other side of it, the downhill side, when you make a mistake, you panic. And you think something's going to work. Someone tells you something's going to work. And you do it, and it doesn't work, and it puts you further down on the slide. It's like pushing that snowball up the hill. It's hard. But once you get on top, you're on top. But it can roll that back down at a faster speed. So I'm rooting for them, too. I'm rooting for them, too.
Me, too. We need it because them being who they were and coming up and AEW people and having that buzz made WWE really focus and, you know, step up their game. So I feel like AEW helped the business immensely, just like WCW obviously did back in the day.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I mean, it made them buckle down. It maybe made Vince understand that he had kind of lost the handle on it. Triple H, there was probably movement to get Triple H in that position. So,
yep.
You know, they have given us, in a offhanded way, AEW has given us this WrestleMania and the Bloodline.
So as far as old school wrestling is concerned, as far as the topic at hand, I want to talk about old school WCW. I want to go back to 1990. I want to talk about Wrestle War, which was February 25th from the Greensboro Coliseum in Greensboro, North Carolina. The attendance 7,900. The pay-per-view buys 175K. So pretty good buy as far as the pay-per-view. 7,900, not that big time though as far as the live attendance, because AEW just had a show there, and Sting was the, you know, the main event of his retirement match. They just drew 15,000 people, so not a huge house here for Greensboro, but decent though. 7,900 is pretty good.
Yeah, and you got to realize that was Sting's last match. I mean, what would they have drawn if it wasn't Sting's last match? You know what I mean?
Right. Yep. Not that. Yep.
Yep.
So as far as 175K though, that pretty good buy rate though as far as the show. The interesting thing is the show was a little bit in flux because Sting was originally supposed to be feuding with Flair at this point. But as you know, Starrcade 89, he wins the round robin tournament, becomes the number one contender for the title, then gets injured at Clash of the Champions. Before that, gets kicked out of the Horsemen because they don't want him, which we've talked about before, they don't want him getting the title shot against Flair, which was awesome the way they did it at Clash of Champions 10. Which then, of course, set up later on the night, Sting tries to climb the cage, and he hurts his knee really bad. So then you guys have to put Luger in that spot. Does that suck? Everything was, for 4 months, everything is going to be Sting Flair. Everything's pushing that direction, and he gets hurt. Boom, just like that, you have to change gears.
Yeah. It was strange how he got hurt, remember? Getting pulled down from the outside.
Yep, from the cage, down. Yeah. I guess it was Doug Dillinger kind of doing it, yeah.
Yeah, I came down and got hurt. Too bad.
So when you're looking at it, Sting gets hurt. He's got to move aside. Luger has to turn from heel to face. Is that ruined, like, the booking as far as what you've got planned? Because it seems like that's not maybe where he was going to be headed at this point in time. He was not going to be a baby face.
Well, it certainly doesn't help. You know, you got something laid out, and you had Sting as the lead baby face, and they were keeping, you know, the match with him and Luger in their back pocket. You know, it's what we talked about earlier. You could have had a three-way combination of anything. So, yeah, it hurt.
Then when you think about it, it's like, okay, if Sting's hurt, what do we do? Do you have to switch Luger from heel to face? And is that going to work? It does seem like it worked here because he was saying he wanted to avenge Sting. And he basically was saying, I'm really friends with this guy and you guys hurt him. That's not the way, you know, we do business here. So do you think it worked in the crowd's eyes that Luger was going to be the babyface?
Yeah, I do think so. Yeah, I mean, because Sting was so beloved, you know what I mean? And it made sense that him and Luger were to be friendly outside the business. So, yeah.
So, obviously, he's going to be a babyface here. He is getting over. Do you think that ruins plans going forward, though, for Luger? Like, in months in advance, that you're switching him face to heel? Or does that not necessarily matter?
Well, of course it matters. But when you put in this position, there's nothing you can do. You know? Or that's the best option, you believe, anyway.
Does it hurt his credibility?
I think we've changed so much from babyface to heel that it doesn't even matter anymore.
Also,
when back in the day, a guy turned heel once in his life from being a babyface, you know what I mean? Or a baby face to a heel. But, I mean, how many times have guys flip-flop in WWE?
And also to note, Luger did this kind of a few years ago. He was the heel with the Horseman, then he turned baby face, then he turned heel again, now he's a face again. So he's flip-flopped a little bit here so far in the late 80s.
Quite a bit, yeah. You're absolutely right, quite a bit.
He was a guy maybe you couldn't trust, but you did get behind. His charisma and everything else, I mean, it was easy to root for.
Oh, he was easy to work with for me. Maybe because I knew him before, you know, when he was training with Hero. I mean, he was Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, why do you think he gets sometimes a bad reputation of being, oh, hard to work with? It seems like you had nothing but easy work with him.
Well, maybe it's because him and I had that relationship that I knew him from the beginning. And we hit it off in a business way when he broke in. So I think that had something to do with, I think years later, he was maybe not comfortable with a lot of people directing his career. Because him and I had the relationship of me starting out with him, and I was straight shooting with him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he feels like he could trust you more. You were honest with him.
Yeah.
So also around this time period around WrestleWar, Ron Simmons and Butch Reed are unmasked as Doom. Did you like them under a mask, or do you thought that was kind of silly? Because it was obvious who it was under the mask.
Well, I thought it added a little dimension, but everybody knowing who they are, I don't think it hurt because we kind of copied that. That's when we had the committee, correct?
Yes.
And we copied that out of, you know, in Mexico, there had been guys that people knew who they were, luchadors that put on masks, you know what I mean? But it was just something, we were trying to spotlight them. And they really didn't need it, like you said. But It was just us trying to put a little intrigue into them because they had been there in and out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. So another interesting thing is Ruse, R-O-O-S, is going to be a sponsor, and they're going to obviously be all over the ring posts, which is something different. Really don't see that too much, except for maybe WCW Slim Jim when you guys would have around the post for Halloween Havoc and different things like that. But do you like that, having the sponsor on the ring post like that?
I don't care if it's bringing in a lot of money, but if it wasn't bringing in a lot of money and I wasn't privy to what they were bringing in, no. But if they're bringing a lot of money, like Slim Jim was, yeah, sure. It was only one event.
Do you remember Ruse? Do you remember the shoes?
Yeah, the kangaroos. With you. They had the little zippers on the side.
Yeah, remember you them? Like that?
Yeah. Do I like the shoe?
Yeah.
No. Piece of crap.
Yeah, they didn't last long. They weren't around for a long time.
No, they fell apart all the time.
Did you get some freebies? Did they give you some freebies?
Oh, yeah, but they're not worth anything when the wrestlers aren't even taking them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you like that Logan Paul's drink Prime is now going to be on the ring itself? Do you like it being on the actual ring mat?
JP,
Do you like that the Prime drink is on the ring, going to be on the mat?
Why not? You know what I mean? We're going that way. We're going to go that way anyway. You know what I mean? It's like, doesn't UFC have all kinds of shit on the rings?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so haven't they kind of... you're the same company now, right?
Yep, TKO.
Basically
merger,
under the same umbrella. Yeah, yeah. Yep. So, and they're want to make as much money as they possibly can. They got a lot of money out. So, yeah. And I think they're pretty smart that they did it with Paul. You know what I mean? What do you think of that?
I like it because obviously WCW used to do it back in the day. I mean, you had stuff on the ring and different stuff. So, I mean, I've seen it before in wrestling, so I don't know why people were complaining about it. I like it. I have no issue with it whatsoever. I feel like WWE and Vince might have been against it, but that was unused part of merchandising or, you know, as far as licensing that they could have been doing and making a ton of money off of it.
Right. I mean, have you seen a soccer match where they all have advertisement on their uniforms?
Yep.
So, I mean, do I want to see it on the wrestlers' tights and outfits? No. But you got to make as much money as you can in today's day. When they put out for WWE $9.3 billion?
Yep.
Am I correct?
Yep.
And then how much was UFC? 9-something?
Right. Yep.
You got to make that money back. You got to make that money back.
Oh, and they intend to. They're going to, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, this Wrestle War, of course, is called Wild Thing, and that's the catchphrase here. As the show opens, we have Jim Ross and Terry Funk calling the action. Ross literally worked with everybody, but I love him and Funk together. I mean, there's a million combinations of Ross, but I do love Ross and Funk. They are great together. You like Funk as an announcer, or you much rather have him wrestling?
Oh, I'd rather have Terry wrestle, but he's a great announcer. Yeah, it's a different dynamic to it.
He obviously in 89 proved that, man, he still got it. He was unbelievable in that feud with Flair. And then he just hops right into the announce booth with Jim Ross right after that. So interesting kind of dynamic there. He was basically the biggest heel in the company. Now he's the announcer.
Yeah, Terry could do anything.
Oh, absolutely. So we start off with Gordon Solie in the back interviewing Teddy Long, talking about the Chicago street fight. Later on, we find out that Sid Vicious is injured, won't be a part of it. He'll be replaced by Mean Mark Callis. And the other wrestler is going to be the Masked Skyscraper, who is, of course, Mike Enos under a hood, just to set the stage for later on. Sid's injury, I mean, is that a real killer for you? Like, as far as you lose Sting, now you lose Sid?
Of course. I mean, Sid's was a big star. Imposing presence, you know what I mean?
Do you feel snake-bitten when you have these injuries right around pay-per-view time?
No, what can you do? It's part of the business.
So it's, you know, like it's NFL, like, every week, next man up?
Yeah. Can put them on for you?
Yeah. So,
that was a given to me?
Yeah. So where I'm going with this is you got to understand that injuries are part of it. Back then, they weren't as prevalent as they are now. And here's the thing I think about. They didn't have mats on the floor. And now guys are getting injured more because I think they don't work quite as enough for their body to toughen up. You know what I mean?
And yeah, they work like half the schedule.
Yeah, and maybe their timing is off that we wouldn't recognize it, but they do. Just a millimeter, and that gets them in the position. But getting back to the subject, yeah, you got to be prepared that the worst is going to be happening.
Speaking of injury, we'll talk about that in the first match. But first up is Kevin Sullivan, you, and Buzz Sawyer versus the Dynamic Dudes. At first, when you look at your team, you guys are starting a new stable. So it's you, Buzz, and Cactus Jack, and you're going to call it the Slaughterhouse. What are your memories of this pretty awesome stable as far as who's in it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Buzz was a madman. You know that, right? The only time I've ever been knocked out in the ring, Buzz missed giving me a tag and smacked me in the head. I almost went out. He was in a tense. He had the frog splash before Eddie. Do you remember that?
Yep.
He had a
pretty athletic, yep.
Incredible power slam. He was a very good amateur wrestler. He was wicked strong. And he was a bully. And he was out of his mind.
And not in a good way out of his mind.
No. He had, as many of us did, he had a problem back in the day, but he was the king of the problems.
Yes, gotcha. With him and you and Foley, obviously, like I said, the Slaughterhouse, how come that doesn't go further? I know we'll Buzz's injury comes up and we'll talk about that a little bit, but did you want that to go further?
That was a great combination, I thought. You know, Mick has mentioned this in his book and in interviews. When they brought him in to WCW, you know, it was to be an enhancement. And Jimmy told me he gives a great elbow off the apron, right? And so then after the first match he was on, I beat his had his opponent get beat. No, his partner get beat. And he got thrown out on the floor. I don't know if Mick threw him out on the floor, but the partner ended up on the floor. And then Cactus runs the length of the apron and jumps and gives him a elbow. Well, I got Cactus over by doing that week after week. Oh, he got himself over.
Right.
But he was jumping down after the partner lost the match. So I saw what Cactus could do real early. You know what I mean? Right up close. So you have him, the incredible bump man, the incredible interview, more intelligent maniac on the interviews. Then I had Buzz who could amateur wrestler, great moves as professional wrestler. A just complete madman. And screaming interviews, shit flying out of his mouth when he's yelling. And then you had me supposedly holding it together with these two guys because they were almost come to blows. It was a great, great, I thought, stable. And you could have turned Mick babyface, and he could have, with their help, he could have become a huge babyface back then, starting with us and then moving on to the horsemen.
I like it. I could see that for sure. So this match, though, of course, you guys, it's you and Buzz versus the Dynamic Dudes. What is up with this gimmick? Johnny Ace seems like he's into a chain, does not seem like he's very much into it. And here, there's no skateboards. The skateboards are gone. What's going on here with the Dynamic Dudes?
This was a Jim Herd production. Now, I don't know, can't remember if they had said they don't, and rightfully so, we don't want the skateboards, and Herd okayed it, or if the committee just said overruled Herd and said they don't need the skateboards. But in my head, it was a terrible gimmick to lay on those young guys. You know what
Man,
I mean?
That gimmick stunk to holy hell. Yeah, even the name Dynamic Dude, it's pretty lame.
Yeah, it made them lame. So
you guys get the win, like you mentioned, with the flying splash. Sawyer comes off the top, nails the splash, and they get the win. The only problem is, and this was a good match and a good opener, the only problem is he breaks his wrist on the splash.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
YouTube?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, he was, when you see it, it's bent all the way back.
Gross. Yep.
Yeah.
So you guys get the win in 10 minutes, 15 seconds, but Sawyer gets hurt. And is that why the Slaughterhouse is kind of going to maybe go dormant or maybe get a little more quiet because of the injury here to Buzz Sawyer?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When you look at that injury, though, I mean, like we said, Sting's injured, Sid's injured. Man, now Buzz Sawyer gets hurt. You guys are definitely snake bitten just as far as the injuries in and around this pay-per-view.
Right. I mean, nothing you could do. That's the thing about it. There's nothing. You could lay everything out. It's like Punk. I'm sure Punk's return, he's going to miss this WrestleMania. And I actually think, not that no one's not going to go, but I think he would add another dimension. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, he's not really gone or out for too long after this injury. Were you surprised that this injury kind of didn't take him out? Well, he was out for a while, but are you surprised this injury didn't like end his career or anything like that? I mean, he's out for a while, but I mean, it's not like a career end or anything. Are you surprised that toughness maybe?
JP, ball players get hit in the wrist with 100-mile-an-hour fastballs doesn't put them out for the season.
Right.
You know, so a wrist is probably the best, not that any of them are good, but probably the best injury if you're going to break something. It heals a lot quicker. It isn't like your legs or your back, you know what I'm saying? Or your knee.
He did slow down, though, as far as wrestling tremendously after this, and he really didn't wrestle too much after this. Obviously, he's been around the block forever at this point, too. Do you feel like that was just kind of the beginning of the end, maybe, for his wrestling? Or like, what did you think about just his career in general? Obviously, he dies in the next year in February, too. But do you feel like here with the injury?
No, it had nothing to do with the injury. No.
Okay, so I'm meaning that, like, did he get addicted to drugs because of the injuries, trying to recover quicker and get back soon?
No.
Because he dies a year later. He only has a few real matches in between. So I was just kind of curious, I guess, kind of roundabout way of going about it. But did that injury have anything to do with him getting further and further with drug abuse?
No.
Okay.
He was down the rabbit hole way before then.
Technically, I guess one of his last matches there, last pay-per-view match, really. But as far as Norman the Lunatic is concerned, he's backstage with a promo with Missy Hyatt, who looks great at this point. But what do you think about Norman Lunatic? What a weird gimmick.
Yeah, very difficult. Buttonholed him. You know, he came from Calgary. They did a thing where he was Maha Singh. And they drew some money with him up there, but this was what's the word I'm looking for? It buttonholed him into a very difficult position. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Definitely a weird gimmick. I guess maybe more for the kids, I guess, Norman the Lunatic.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Dave Sullivan eventually, or a Eugene gimmick. I mean, it's going down that rabbit hole.
Right.
So next up, we have Norman the Lunatic, and he's going to defeat Cactus Jack, a.k.a. Cactus Jack Manson, with you in the corner. The match goes 9 minutes and 30 seconds. Norman gets the win. What do you think here?
They were trying to get him over. Do you know what I mean? And Cactus knew how to work with them. They had pretty good chemistry, and it was a mistake we made with Cactus. He should have went over.
Cactus bumps like crazy, though, in the match. He makes Norman look like a million bucks. And, of course, he almost tries to do a sunset flip on Norman. Norman sits down and gets him for the three count. But it is crazy. Like, Norman the Lunatic beats Cactus Jack. Like, when you look back and you're reading it, it's like, wow, Foley lost to Norman the Lunatic on pay-per-view, but young Foley, of course.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame.
Then we go to the back. Gordon Solie, the legendary Gordon Solie, great announcer. He is with Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express, Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane for a nice little promo back there. Can't get better than Cornette on the mic, right?
No, he's one of the best of all times.
Then we have Midnight Express coming up for their match. Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express versus the Rock and Roll Express. The Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, defeated Eaton and Lane in 19 minutes and 30 seconds. A long match and an awesome match. This is a great match. Anybody want to go back and just kind of get the tail end of the rivalry between the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express, go watch this match and go watch this pay-per-view. Great match between these two. Just unbelievable, as the Rock and Roll Express do end up getting the victory. Gibson pin Lane for the win.
Hey, JP, I got to eat something right now. Can I eat while we're doing this? Or
go for it.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, go for it. So the Rock and Roll Express get the win over the Midnight Express, almost 20-minute match on the pay-per-view. So awesome stuff for anybody that hasn't seen it.
Well, I was down in Chillicothe for Bobby Fulton's last week.
Yep.
And the Rock and Roll Express work with the Barbarian and his partner. And they still can pop the house. It's unreal how Ricky is so good. And Robert, too.
Wow, I didn't realize they were still wrestling. I thought they were had retired. I thought they were done. That's awesome. Nice.
This is their retirement tour.
Oh, okay. Nice. I like that. R&R, baby. They're awesome. Love the Rock and Roll Express. Speaking of great tag teams, we have the Road Warriors with Paul Ellering in the back, getting interviewed by Gordon Solie. And basically, they're talking about their Chicago street fight, which is up next. It's going to be the Road Warriors Hawk and Animal with Paul Ellering defeating the Skyscrapers, who I mentioned before is Mean Mark Callis, and the Masked Skyscraper, Mike Enos Under the Hood, with Teddy Long. Match only goes about 5 minutes. It's okay. You know, they come dressed as you are, street fight, and they all really start brawling all around. Nothing too special about it, but the Road Warriors do end up getting the win. Any kind of memories of this Chicago street fight? Short and sweet, only about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was just to get the Road Warriors over because we also had a substitution in there, right?
Yep.
So, you know, you probably could have made a guy if they had plans for him. If he stood up and had a hell of a match against the Road Warriors, but it was just trying to, in my mind, was just trying to fit a hole in the boat, you know what I mean? Fill a hole in the boat.
And it was really kind of designed to have Road Warriors next feud with Doom, because Doom comes out and they end up after the match throwing Teddy Long into Doom, which shows you that's Teddy Long's new team. He's going to be teaming with Doom. Doom and the Road Warriors start brawling all around, and then the Road Warriors sent Doom packing. Basically, that's going to be their next feud.
Yeah. And as tough as the Road Warriors were, they weren't going to send Doom packing. You know what I mean? Doom, yep. they were two tough guys.
So basically, WCW decides to bring back the NWA United States Tag Team Championship, you know, give it another title belt, another tag team. Do you guys think you had enough tag teams for it? I mean, you do have a lot of tag teams. Do you think you had enough for two tag team belts?
JP, they were looking at this. They were looking at running two towns a night in using top tag teams in different towns. So that's why they came up with that U.S. tag team.
So basically, a tournament was held to crown the new champions. Pillman and Zinc defeated the Freebirds in the finals, which sets up this rematch for the NWA U.S. Tag Team titles. Brian Pillman and the Z-Man Tom Zinc again defeated the Fabulous Freebirds, Michael P.S. Hayes, and Jimmy Jam Garvin to retain the NWA United States Tag Team Championships. The match went 24 minutes and 30 seconds. Okay match, not great, but man, why the heck did it get 25 minutes for this match?
Because they thought it was going to be a very good match.
Even more so than giving more time to Rock and Roll and Midnight, huh?
Well, no one locks it in that you got 20. You know, they probably said to Robert and Punky, we'll give you 20 minutes. So they got it ready, and they got home right at 20-minute mark. They probably said to the other guys, you got 20 minutes, and they just went over 5 minutes. I mean, no one's hitting it on the nose. Do you know what I mean? Very few, anyway. Yep.
So Pillman and Zinc were kind of put into the plans that we're going to give these guys a bit of a push?
Yeah, yeah. Two good-looking guys, great bodies. We draw on women, yeah.
Crazy though, you take out the Freebirds and you put them against the Midnight Express, and the Midnight Express had an awesome match with Zinc and Pillman. So I mean, they had the ability, especially Pillman at that point. I mean, they definitely had the ability to have a good match if they wanted to, and if they had the right opponent.
Yeah, Pillman was really moving up at the time.
Next up, WCW, a.k.a. the NWA World Tag Team Championship. The Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott, defeated Ole and Arn Anderson in about 16 minutes. This was a good match. I don't know, one of those things where I feel like Arn Anderson and any partner that he's had over the years, whether it's Tully, whether it's Eaton, whoever it is, he always ends up wrestling the Steiner brothers, and he always ends up getting suplexed a lot. But great match here. Maybe not as good as it could have been. Ole was maybe slowing down, I guess, at this point, but good match nonetheless. Steiner brothers get the win. You like the Steiners and the Andersons?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think it was a good match. Only you're starting to wind down.
So, as far as after the match, though, the Andersons attack Scott and they go after his leg, and they basically, you know, assume that they broke his leg. Was there something wrong with Scott? Was Scott going to be out of action with a legitimate injury after this?
I can't remember if were they going to Japan too at that time?
Oh, yeah. Steiner's, yeah.
So I think that's what it was. They were going to Japan. So if you pull Scotty out of there, there's no reason for Rick, you know what I mean, show up, make sense to the people.
Next up, Lex Luger is in the back with Gordon Solie. They're talking about his title match coming up next in the main event against the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And then we cut to another interview with Gordon Solie, and he's got Woman Oh Woman, Won't You Marry Me Now, who you know very well, and her new stableman, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, as she's now managing the Four Horsemen. Right. Do you like Woman with Nate? Do you like that combination?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They look good together.
Later on, too, in 95, she rejoins the Horsemen as well, and she's with Flair again. Definitely a good fit for the Horsemen.
Right, right.
More so than Doom, right? I mean, better. Yeah. She fits better with them.
Right. But that was also that there was a white girl with black eyes.
Right, yep.
To come into leaving the Dark Ages, hopefully. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
So here we go. The main event of the evening, Ric Flair, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion with Woman, defending his title against Lex Luger. This match goes 38 minutes, and Ric Flair ends up getting the victory via countout to retain the NWA World title. This is an awesome match. This is a classic. Flair, I guess you could say, is carrying Luger a bit here, but Luger does, he's well on his own. I mean, he can carry himself a little bit too, but obviously this is a great job by Flair. What do you think here of Flair defeating Luger via countout in the main event?
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to save Luger, but Rick was carrying, like you said, and Rick was the champion. The champion needed to go over.
Great match. Maybe the ending a bit disappointing because it's a count out. Do you like that count out finish on a pay-per-view?
Not really, but they were trying to save Luger. You know, we just had lost Sting. We couldn't afford to beat Luger. You know, we didn't know how long Sting was going to be out. What would you have done? Would you have beaten
him? No, you kind of can't because God knows if you beat him, you got who's next? You got nobody else.
Right, right. And you had to continue on with Rick. You know.
And when you think about it, too, he's going to take the loss, right, in his countout to keep him strong. But also the way that he lost via countout, you guys kept it strong because what happened was Sting is out there in crutches with the big knee brace on. He's telling Woman to stop interfering here. He's trying to help Luger, but Arn and Ole come out and they run past him. They go in the ring. They beat up Luger behind the ref's back, which then Sting wants to get involved. So then Arn and Ole go after Sting. That gets Luger's attention, takes Luger out of the ring. The crowd is super into it. Luger then starts beating up Arn and Ole, sending them packing. Doesn't notice 8, 9, 10 gets counted out. So it's not like the action was so slow. As something was going on, you didn't know what was going on, and boom, he loses. So it was done well. I mean, it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, and that was to save Luger because they didn't have anybody ready except him. So it served its purpose.
Plus, you had a pay-per-view coming up in a few months called Capital Combat, and you needed an opponent for Flair, which is Luger again in the rematch, so you had to keep him strong.
Right, exactly.
Really interesting. I don't know if anybody else noticed this or not, but Ross called the next pay-per-view. He didn't call it Capital Combat. He called it Armed and Dangerous. So was that ever supposed to be the name of the pay-per-view? Because
not that I know of.
Okay, because I don't know, maybe he thought it was, but obviously it's Capital Combat. It's not Armed and Dangerous. It's Capital Combat.
I have no idea.
Overall, what do you think about this pay-per-view?
You had some good matches. I got to give it a thumbs up because of not having Sting. Luger did a hell of a job. Rick, of course, did his magnificent job. The Rock and Roll had a great match. I think it was a positive pay-per-view. What do you give it?
I could probably give it thumbs up just because I liked your match, you and Buzz versus Dynamic Dude. I like the Steiners versus the Andersons. I love Rock and Roll Express versus Midnight Express. It was awesome. And I love Flair and Luger going almost 40 minutes in a classic. So I give it thumbs up just because the pay-per-view itself, the matches were good.
Right, right. So
maybe could have done without Norman the Lunatic, and maybe it would have may have had the Freebirds match be a little shorter, but you know, can't complain too much.
No, I think it was well done.
And even the Road Warriors, their street fight wasn't bad. It's just it was maybe just too short. So it was almost more of a building the storyline with Teddy Long and Doom than the match needed right. to be any good.
Right.
So let's hit the plugs. And talk about what's coming up next for you. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Kev, what's going on with you?
Next Wednesday, I'm giving a seminar at CCW. What a great little company they are. And they're not a little company. They run about 12 to 15 shows a month. And Gangrel is the head trainer there. We all love Gangrel and know how great he is. If people looking for a camp, I would recommend CCW. It's in Pompano Beach. I'm sure you can find it. And then, of course, I'm up in Philly for WrestleMania at the convention there for Rob Feinstein. So it's going to be an exciting week. Couple of weeks.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. And I noticed CCW has that 20th anniversary show. They got a lot of guys on the QT Marshall. I think Riddle's on it. I think Brian Cage, Gangrel. It's pretty loaded.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to that one. So,
good stuff for sure.
Yeah.
With CCW, and obviously you're making your triumphant return to Florida, of course, which you made a big name for yourself down there many, many years ago, championship wrestling for Florida.
Yeah. But it's nice to see these young guys. They got a bunch of young guys at CCW that are very, very good. We'll be seeing them on TV pretty shortly.
Nice. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. See you right back here next week. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.
Referee's really having trouble restraining these four combatants. This match for the World Tag Team Championship.
Do you see that little decoy movie there? He's like he's a little bit addled, and as soon as Scotty reached for him, well, he ducked right in there and picked up that leg. That's a pro there. Whoa! What's he gonna do with him?
A suplex! Scotty Steiner muscling Ole Anderson up and over, drops the knee to the chest, goes for the pin. 1-2, and Ole kicks out. Scott Steiner now tagging in Big Brother Rick. Uh-oh. Don't do that.
Don't let him up either. Don't let him up. Don't let him get over there and get that tag. Now what a... Gee, that's what you'll get there. You know, these boys, sometimes they have a little problem. They have a little problem. Thinking wisely. They're instinct wrestlers. They're great. They've been trained since they were 4 or 5 all the way through the ranks. They love what they're doing. They're smart wrestlers. But it's a mistake like that one little thing right there.
A mental lapse, if we could term it that, that Rick Steiner perhaps had there.
Nice way of putting it there, Jimbo Diddley.
Tag made. And Rick Steiner has got caught in the very dangerous corner of the Andersons. And look at him move the ring with that velocity.
Oh. Uh-oh, DDT, no. Vertical suplex, no. A block. Another block. A reversal.